This is Tony Fisher. It's time for my guest for A Pint today. A legend in his own right for many, many years with the Walker Brothers and now touring solo across the Midlands, in fact coming to our area in June. I'm very pleased to say that John Walker is with us for A Pint today. John, welcome to BBC Hereford and Worcester.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you on the show, and thank you for bringing all this wonderful weather with you as well. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
It's pretty unbelievable. We were laughing about that on the, you know, because when you're touring, you know, you always get caught in rainstorms and snowstorms and everything else you can think of. And it's just been marvelous.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you're used to L.A. sunshine and all that kind of thing. So it seems we're swapping it with you at the moment, doesn't it?
I think so.
Let's talk about your early career, first of all, John. A New Yorker by birth, and I suppose really your musical beginning started at a really early age, didn't they?
Well, actually, that's true. I think I sort of kicked off when I was about 10 or 11. I decided that somehow or another music was going to be in my life. And, you know, I kept, you know, trying different instruments and learning things and singing and, you know, all sorts of things. I just kept doing things.
And you were pretty much self-taught, weren't you?
For the most part. I did have some guitar lessons, and my guitar teacher was a kind man. He told my parents, he said, "You're wasting your money. Just let him do what he's going to do." And that's, you know, that's basically what I did.
And you also taught guitar to a couple of members of the Beach Boys as well, because they were neighbors of yours, weren't they?
Yes. Well, the funny thing is David Marks, who was one of the original members, he had never played guitar or anything before in his life, but he really wanted to learn. And I met him through a friend of my sister's. And, you know, we sort of sat down. I said, okay, but, you know, there's a lot to do here. And I started teaching him some things. The next thing you know, he said, well, you know, my friends across the street are trying to put a group together, and it would be kind of good if you could help Carl out and, you know, teach him some more guitar things, because it would help them. And I said, okay. So I met Carl and Brian and Dennis and, you know, the family, as it were, and I started teaching Carl a lot of guitar. And then the next thing that happened after that was they came over to my house one day and presented me with they said, we want you to hear something that we wrote. And it was a song called Surfing. And so they played the song, but it was interesting. I was like a blues guy and a rock and roll guy. And I was like, what's surf music? And then the next thing you know, the record was out and very successful. So that was just a really good, that was a good thing.
Wow. That's a thing to be proud of, isn't it? To be part of that early stage of the Beach Boys as well.
Well, yeah, it's you know, I didn't even realize, evidently, I was David and I sort of keep running into each other a lot now these days, and he told me, he said, you have no idea how much stuff that you, you know, gave us that became part of what we do, and, you know, I never realized it. I just, you know, sort of went on my merry way, as it were.
Yeah, you mentioned your big sister Judy there, and you started your own band together, didn't you, and your folks would sort of drive you around to gigs and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was kind of, my dad was my roadie, you know, it was kind of like very cool. But the thing was, you know, I in those days, you know, there weren't very many people actually playing live. They had these things like, they'd call them record hops. And, you know, a DJ would come down and he'd have several artists with him. Well, they would mime to the records because it wasn't very easy to produce things live.
Yeah.
And I saw a guy, his name was Richie Valens. And he was on one of these record hop things, and it was him. He played electric guitar and a drummer, and that was it.
Yeah.
But it was live, and it was really exciting. And I thought, you know, if he can do that, I can do that. And subsequently, he and I became quite good friends, and he showed me a lot of things to make my life easier. So that was another sort of thing that happened that was important.
It's amazing you should say that, and it's something I'll come on to a little bit later, but I have to admit, every time I hear the start of Make It Easy on Yourself with those strings, it always sends the hairs on the back of my neck on end. It's amazing what strings can do, isn't it? And again, to perform something like that live is a big ask, really, isn't it?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, fortunately, in the last few tours I've done here and will continue to do in the future is work with the Dakotas. And they're not your standard sort of four-piece group of people who play music. They're very, very, one, they're very intelligent players, and they really do manage to reproduce as much as possibly it can get the Walker Brothers thing, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's, I mean, we opened we actually opened the act with Make It Easy on Yourself, so you already know how much work that is.
Yeah. Oh, really? So it's a big starter, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we'll hear that in just a second. I also want to talk about your new album as well. Let's chat a little bit about how the Walker Brothers first came about, because this was a bit by chance, really, wasn't it, that you all met?
Well, more or less. I mean, you know, basically, I was working in a place, and I was not really happy. I had a drummer and a bass player, but they weren't all that hot. And Scott was in another band, and I had the house band in this place, and his group was a guest band. So they came in and did their thing. And Scott was, you know, he was kind of, I didn't realize at the time, he was really quite unhappy with being in this band. Anyway, it was funny because he called me up like a week later, and he said, "Are you looking for a bass player, man?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I could do with one." I said, "But I need a drummer too." And he said, "Well, I got a guy, so let me call you in a couple of weeks." And we got together, and it was really funny because when Scott and this fellow, his name was Spider Webb, when we got together, the three of us, it was like, "Wow, this is, we could play anything we wanted to." It was weird.
Yeah.
And so that was the sort of beginning. But that actually didn't last. We all went our separate ways, and about, guys, it had to be about 2 years later, Scott and I got together backing a friend of ours who'd been, you know, in those Hollywood faces for years. And we actually sort of got hired to back him for a night. And we got the job. It was like, you know, okay, I guess we're doing something right.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the beginning of the Walker Brothers.
The very beginning. We'll talk about that chart success, and let's hear it right now. Let's hear one of the big ones. Make It Easy on Yourself. My special guest, John Walker, this afternoon. So, John, we're talking there about the Walker Brothers and the amazing success that you had with hits like "The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore." It was quite a whirlwind, really, wasn't it? I mean, because you were selling literally millions of records.
Yeah, it was like, you know, how does that happen?
Yeah,
you know, things like that. You never honestly. I don't think you realize what's going on at the time. I know I certainly didn't. It just seemed like the most important thing to do was like decide what you were going to record next, and you know, and hopefully, you know, just find some good music and try to make some great records. That was the whole plan, really.
Did you have an awful lot of pressure at that time as well? Because, I mean, one minute you're there and you're gigging and you're enjoying your life, and all of a sudden the success is heaped on you, and then the record company's obviously thinking, hello, bit of money to be made here.
That, unfortunately, is always going to be the case. But that's just part, you know, it really is part of the game. I mean, the thing is, if you are fortunate enough to be successful, then, you know, you become, whether you like it or not, a bit of a money machine for somebody. Mm. And, you know, the record companies worked pretty hard. But, you know, one thing I'll say for Philip, well, we were on, it was actually Philips at the time. And, you know, they never neglected their part of the job, as in offering, allowing us the opportunity, you know, giving us the facility. In other words, they put up the bucks, you know, to pay for those big orchestras. I mean, we had great arrangers, and, you know, we had some great ideas, and, you know, and we would sit down with our arrangers and really go over these things and work them out. We spent more, we did a lot of homework before we walked in the studio.
Yeah.
And, I'm proud to say that it paid off, and I'm also happy to say that it allowed us that opportunity to really make great records.
Yeah, and I suppose really the proof is all these years on. I mean, they were all million sellers. We're still playing them today, which I suppose is the accolade of the work that went into the songs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. You know, it actually gives me such a great sense of pride and accomplishment when I think about it. You know, we're talking 40 years ago, you know, for the most part. And there are people buying the records today. And they're coming out and they're rediscovering them. And, you know, it's like when I'm touring around, it's the odd thing is okay, I expect, you know, people around my age to know all the songs and, you know, and to be sort of into the Walker Brothers, as it were. But when I start seeing people half my age, I'm wondering what's going on here. You know, it's a little different. And it's happening. Yeah. And I don't know what to tell you about that. I can just tell you that that's what's going on.
After a while, you went solo, and I know you had a... actually, before you go to that, I must just mention this, because this came in as a phone call earlier on. She wouldn't come on air to speak to us, unfortunately, John, but she says, it's Linda in Kidderminster, and she called to say that she remembers the Walker Brothers gig in Kidderminster back in the 60s, and she said, and John had a ring pulled off his finger by fans. Now, she happened to hear the offending lasses bragging about it, so she basically told on them, and you got your ring back. I don't know if you remember that incident.
I do remember that, because I was wearing a ring. The ring was got pulled off my hand in the pandemonium, and it came back to me. I never actually knew how it got back to me, but I did get it back. I remember that.
Yeah. So there you are. Linda in Kidderminster was one of the girls that found out who took it. So there you go.
Well, thank you, Linda.
All these years on, you see. And of course, you went solo, and then you reformed for a while in the 70s, didn't you, with that great version of No Regrets as well.
Yeah, that was another, it's one of those things. You just kind of get together and you make some records, and and we were yet again very fortunate. We had good material, and we got successful again. It was kind of really nice.
Yeah. And then from then on, you've done all kinds of things. You've been producing and writing. You've been a studio engineer and now touring again. In fact, you've done a few tours, and I was on your website earlier on. What's it feel like to still be touring, still singing these classic songs, and also bringing in new songs of your own as you go?
I think probably that the real point of satisfaction is, when I stand on the stage and I'm singing the material that I'm singing, the old Walker's hits and the new songs, I get this real, it's like, it's almost like being in a huge living room. You got all these people and they're all there. They want to hear what you're doing. And, and it just seems like it's all one big family. But the thing that amazes me is I can understand people getting excited about hearing Make It Easy and The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine and things like that. But what really knocks me on the floor is when I do tracks off of my new CD and I get the same reaction.
Yeah.
I'm going, wait a minute, I must be doing something right. and I'm, and I have to tell you, I love it. Yeah. I'm having such a great time. It's just one of the best times.
Well, we look forward to seeing you coming to our area, to the Arterix in Bromsgrove on June the 9th. We shall see you there. And also, your new CD is out at the moment, just for you. We'll play the title track, I think, of this one, John.
Okay.
And before you go, this is called A Pie and a Pint. And what I like to do with all my guests is we bake them a nice homemade pie. So a chicken pie is in front of you at the moment. And also,
wonderful.
You can have anything you want from my extensive bar. So after a gig or anything, what do you want? Wind down with, what's your drink of choice?
Well, I'm kind of easy. I just have a nice pint of Kronenbourg.
Oh, lovely. It's good for the tonsils, isn't it?
Absolutely.
John, all the very best to you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Great to talk to
you. My pleasure, Tony.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Take care.